Rabbi Arya Moshe Royd.
Good morning. Good morning. Before I begin, I'd like to say that we had a chasna last night, and I was traveling from America Monday night, so I've missed two nights' sleep. So forgive me if I say anything which isn't too sensible. I'm going on two nights without having a real sleep. No, I don't. I might fall asleep if I sit down, so I prefer to stand. So, as we're all anticipating, next week is Purim. And since you have a program every single day of different speakers, you probably hear every single day another outlook on Purim, which probably confuses all of you, so I'm here to add to that confusion and give my perspective on one idea on Purim. Find the Gemara in Bruches, I believe is Daf Yud Zayin, for those of you who are makpid to check it up. If not, I can say whatever I want. The Gemara says in Daf Yud Zayin, Rav Yehuda says, Hana Goivur Tipshur. Goivur is a nationality, a certain place in Bavel, he said, the Tipshim. That's what Rav Yehuda says. And Rav Yosef explains, because they see the beauty of Yiddishkeit, and there's no Gerim. We don't see any Gerim from that place. So they're stupid. They're Tipshurim. That was Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosef said. And then Rav Chome added, Mosem Achasye is the same thing. People who live in Mosem Achasye, they're also stupid because we don't find any Gerim from there. And I'd like to share a few words in Purim regarding this Gemara. We all know there's the famous Pasuk in the Megillah, it says, "V'rabim mibnei oretz mesiyahadim, kinofal pachtam al, not pachad yudim alayim." That means many people in those days, at the time, they all converted to Yiddishkeit. There were many converts over the story of Purim, because they saw how great the Yidden were. And the question is, Sfasemes, that's a great question. It's a great question, not just because my father is sitting here and I have to quote a Sfasemes, but it really is a good kasha. That Rabbi Menagritz Mesiyadim, Kinofal Pachtom Aleihem, first of all, they're not Emes Hagerim. This isn't Sfasemes' this question, this is more of a simple question. If a ger is misguided only because he's afraid, you're not a ger. This isn't a true convert. But he says, he asked another kasha, he says, if it's only because, what were they afraid of? If they were afraid that Yidden would kill them, then it's not going to help to quickly convert. They would have been killed. In other words, anyone who I know, who's my enemy, and I have the right to kill him, I'm not going to accept, oh, you want to convert? Absolutely, come on, you know, come spend Shabbos in my house. No, 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 if I have the right to kill you, I will do so, if they are Malaykum. So, he asked that kasha, it's very hard to understand that those Yidden, the people in those days converted because of Nofal Pachtam Alayim. If they had what to fear, then they wouldn't have been accepted as Gerim. And more than that, as I asked, if they were Gerim, if they somehow managed to convert, then they're not true Gerim. Why is it a lesson for us? You know, Torah, of course, everything, every word that says in Torah isn't just about the story which happened then. What message is for us that those Yidden converted kinuf al pachtam alayim? What's the message for us if they're not shkur gedim? But we all know the famous medrash. The medrash says, not the book, the medrash actually says, kimu v'kiblu. Says the Medrash, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar. They accepted what they had already accepted. Because there's other Medrash which says, La Yudim Masha Oyre Vasimcha Vasusam Dikar, says the Medrash, Oyre is Yitoyre. I think it's a Gemara even. Oyre is Yitoyre. Simcha is the Yomtev, Sosin is the Mila. Bikar Zet Filid. And what does that mean? Medrash says, Oyre is toyre, kar is tefillin, so beautiful. But what does it mean within the context of the Megillah that oyre is toyre and simcha is yomtiv? But the first which the other medrash of kimur mashekivlu kvar, because we know b'shas matan toyre, however much Hashem wanted to give the Torah to Yidden, and Yidden wanted to accept it. The Yidden weren't yet so convinced the beauty of Yiddishkeit. And they had to be forced into it. As we all know, Kufa Alayim Harke Gigis, famous Gemara in Shabbos, Hashem picked up the mountain and said, you better keep the Torah, if not, Sham Tahay Kivirashem. So, as I said, however beautiful it was that Hashem took the Yidden and was Makadosh Yidden, I gave them the Torah, but it was still Meir. After the Sedas of Anishma, it was still, to a certain degree, it was forced upon them. Shem ta'ikiv erashchem if you don't take it. When it came to the story of Purim, when it came to the story of Mordechai, the Esther, Haman, they were mekabel ma'ahava. They said, everything we've learned up until now, we see isn't just because we have to do it, but we want to do it. We actually want to keep the Torah. And, of course, I was just cleansing the netzotzes of those who didn't want to originally, but originally that was Kabbalah Satoide in the first place. The famous Medrash says, Hafir Mahapuran, Hashem went around to all the nations and asked them if they want the Toide. And we all know when they went to the Goyim, Hashem asked, do you want the Toide? What did they all answer? Mak Sivbei. What does it say in it? And Hashem told them, you know, losertzach, you can't do that. Listen off. Hashem gave them the hardest mitzvah, the hardest things which they struggled with. That's what Hashem says. That's what the Torah is. And personally, there's a question which always bothered me. That's not fair. You don't do that. What?
We're in the Shiva mitzvahs, but they don't have to keep you without the Torah. These are the Shiva mitzvahs, but they know I'm.
That's right, but the Torah does say, Gemara does say those Mashalim, that's what Hashem gave to. That's a good question. That's right. That's right. But the truth is, what Chassidus Sforim teaches us, that this is a different shmuz, but Chassidus Sforim teaches us, there's a difference between when you do it from when Hashem told you to do it as a mitzvah, not just because these things are menschlich. Okay, and if a goy does it, it's because that's the right thing, it's a moral thing to do. But if Hashem teaches us, loisertzach is a mitzvah. Anyway, Hashem says, loisertzach. And as it's not fair, you don't tell them the hardest thing they struggle with. And we do kiruv, Baruch Hashem, I'm zoichet to do kiruv, chokim, and kiruvim, all the time in America. And if I meet someone over a Shabbaton, and they say, Rabbi, that Shabbos was tremendous. I really enjoyed Shabbos. I'd like to spend more time with you. And I say, but I know that you have a taiva to have eat, you know, crab or lobster. There's no way you could become a yid, a firm yid, if you eat lobster. Forget it. You know how big Gehenim there is for lobster? I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to speak about how bad lobster is. I'll say, come on, join with another Shabbos with us. Spend some time. Get to know more about Yiddishkeit. What do you think? You think he's going to stay with his lobster? He'll drop it one day. No one thinks that someone becomes Baal Tshuva. Now imagine this person who always, that was the main food, main snack, and they would come home Shabbos B'Nacht. Imagine he would become firm all the way. He even becomes Chassidish. Comes home Shabbos B'Nacht with a Sturam and Bekeshe. He makes sing Shom Aleichem, he makes Kiddush. And then his wife was going to walk in with a plate of fish, you know, gefilte fish and salmon and tomato dip. and a piece of lobster, don't worry, you know, he'll give up that one day. It's not fair to focus on the weak point. So why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem say, give them the greatest struggle they had? And then when it came to the Yidden said, Nasef and Ishma. And Hashem said, wow, Migilu Rozel Levunai, who taught my children this secret? So say Nasef and Ishma. Now, saying Nasef and Ishma is beautiful. But what's the secret? Why is it considered a secret to say Nasef and Ishma? Nasef before Nishma. But the answer is, because when a chosn and kala, a chosn is standing under the chuppah, and he's about to put the ring on her finger, those holy moments, say harayat mekadeshesli, that moment, and just before he says harayat mekadeshesli, he says, wait a second, I'm just not clear in this deal. Are you going to wash dishes every night and wash my laundry every night and cook supper? And then how much money do I need to bring in for all that? What would she say if that's the deal under the chuppah? She'll flee. She'll I'm out of there. Because this isn't a deal. I'm marrying you. We're marrying each other. We're happily marrying each other. And everything will work out. You see, it wasn't Hashem that tripped them with the hardest thing that they're struggling with. When they said, Mak Sivbai, what can I do for you? Hashem said, oh, forget it. Let me see if you can do that one. When they said, my kasiv, they already lost it. Because they said, oh, what can I do for you? And Yiddishkeit isn't about what we could do for Hashem. When Yidden said, Nasef and Ishma, they said, we're in. I know you want to marry us. I know you want to have this relationship with us. And Nasef and Ishma, whatever you say, we'll make it work. And Hashem says, Migil Rozel Levunai, who taught my children the secret that Yiddishkeit isn't all about the do's and don'ts? It's not about what I have to do for you and what you will give me in return. It's about we have this relationship. So of course that's what real Yiddishkeit is. But unfortunately, there were these people that didn't really get that all the way at the time of Matan Torah. And Hashem still had to force it. Although they were excited at the moment, they weren't yet convinced. And that's why it had to be kufa laim hakikah, because they had to be forced to keep the Torah. When it came to the story of Mordechai v'Esther, and without going into all the arichas, all the sfurim speak about, that how Hashem showed his nisim, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem showed unbelievable nisim, how great and how powerful he is. But on a daily basis, I didn't feel that relationship. It's great to have a chasana and a shavuot, and everyone's excited and dancing. That's not what real life is. Real life is on a daily, day-to-day basis. We spend time with each other and we care for each other. So of course, over there, Yidden said Nasef and Ishma. But they were still afraid after Yetzias Mitzrayim, will Hashem do these miracles on a daily basis? And if not, maybe I'm not so interested. And that's why they had to be forced. But over the story of Megillas Esther, how they saw Hashem is involved in their everyday lives, and Hashem takes care of us every moment, that's when they notice Yiddishkeit is really only about that. It's only about this excitement, and I want to be close to Hashem. I want to do this. I'm not doing it because I have to do it. Or there's a punishment if I do it. I always like to say, imagine if we get a get out of Gehenim for free card. How many of us, you know, would be so concerned to say Kriya Shema before this man? You know, I got a get out of Gehenim for free card. Like the Monopoly get out of jail card. If it's not only about that, we have to do it because I'm afraid of Hashem. That's a Kabbalah Satori Meyire. But when we were Mekabal the Torah, Kibu v'Kibu, we were Mekabal the Torah again. Mahav, we said we want to do this, we enjoy doing this. There's two Mahalchim in Yisroel when he left the Midbar, went back to Midian, either he went back to being Legaya, B'nai Mishpachta, as Rashi says, others say that it's too much for him. And he gave up. He gave up. Well, the Lashon Rashi is, he was Yosef Mechvoido Shel Olam, and he gave up everything originally when he left Midian. Yosef Mechvoido Shel Olam. He gave up everything for Hashem, for Yiddishkeit. And you know what? If you feel you have to never give up everything for Yiddishkeit, eventually you'll give up Yiddishkeit and go back to your everything. In other words, we don't need this mysterious nefesh. I'll tell you what mysterious nefesh means. It's not about mysterious. I'm giving up everything for Yiddishkeit. Don't give up everything for Yiddishkeit. Enjoy your Yiddishkeit. Don't need to give up everything. This is what you want. A great American general at the War of the Independence in America says, we don't need troops that will die for our country. We need troops that will make the enemy die for their country. Don't die for your country. Live for your country. Enjoy your country. Appreciate your country. And we think we have this mysterious nefesh for Yiddishkeit. And we know that mysterious nefesh is a Yiddish midah. You don't have mysterious nefesh. Excuse me, but Goyim, on a daily basis, we watch their mysterious nefesh. Goyim die every single day for their beliefs. They kill themselves for their own beliefs. Don't they have mysterious nefesh? Just as much as we do? They have mysterious hagif. Every Goy, a moral Goy, understands that there's something greater than their pleasures, something greater than their comforts, and they should give that up. Mesiras HaGif, everyone could do. When I started my career helping people who are not so close to Yiddishkeit, I spoke to my Rebbe, Belzeruf, and I said, unfortunately, many, many times they teach me more things than I teach them. And it's not so comfortable for me. I'm being enlightened, educated. I'm finding out things, and it's not so healthy for me. And I say sometimes I daven a davening which I shouldn't be davening. The quick davening, and it's a place where I shouldn't be davening. It's not what I'm brought up to daven in a good place, erlich, geschmack, long davening. Sometimes I just need to do things very quickly. And he said, that's what Mesiras HaNefesh means. Mesiras HaNefesh is, this is what Hashem wants. Sometimes you have to give up your nefesh for Hashem. It's not just Mesiras HaGuf. Mesiras HaGuf, all Goyim could do. Mesiras HaNefesh is a much higher level. But when we talk about Mesiras HaGuf, Hashem doesn't need that. Hashem needs Mesiras HaNefesh for Hashem. But give up your pleasures for Yiddishkeit? Hashem says, don't give up anything for me. Enjoy it. Enjoy our Yiddishkeit. Don't never, you have to give up. This is my hit from my father's story from Chazon Ish, and I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but at least almost. A girl asked the Chazon Ish for a bruche. I think this is the way the story went. A girl asked the Chazon Ish a bruche, which is Matrutun Ashidach, a bruche, Ben Toyre, who is Mamish Moshe Nefesh, he sits and learns all day, Mamish with Mesiras Nefesh, and she wanted to have the koyach to live such a life of Mesiras Nefesh. And the Chazon Ish answered, if it's Mesiras Nefesh, don't do that Shidduch. Don't be Moshe Nefesh. Enjoy that life. Enjoy the life of a Ben Toyre. Enjoy the life of living with Hashem. It's Nebuch Mesiras Nefesh. Those who are Nebuch Mesiras Nefesh, don't keep it too long. However, when it came to the story of Matre V'Esther, Purim, it was Kimu V'Kiblu. Kimu Mashe Kiblu Kvar Ba'Ahava. They accepted the Toyre because they wanted to. Says the Svasemes, Lahidam is Oyre Zi Toyre, Simche Zi Yomtev, Susan Zi Mili, because it's Tvilin. It means that the Lahidam, for the Yidin of those days, those times, they recognized that Oyre Zi Toyre. They recognized that Toyre is Oyre. They recognized that Yomtev is Simche. They recognized that Mila is Susan and Tvilin is Vikar. It's not Oyre is Toyre. They felt the beauty of Yiddishkeit, the Torah and Simcha and Yom Tov and Mila. It's not all that we have to do, but it was like Hidam was the Oyre of Simcha v'Susim v'Kar. They recognized that all the mitzvahs that they did at the time were beautiful and pleasure and geschmack and Oyre and Simcha. Not just Oyre zi Torah. Yidin recognized that Torah is Oyre. And when Yidin recognized the beauty of all these mitzvahs, then it's so simple that Rabim Mipnai Uretz Mesiadim. When a Goy saw how the Yidin enjoyed the Yiddishkeit so much, they were Megai right away. If we do mitzvahs because we have to do mitzvahs, if we're Nebuch Moshe Nefesh, and then we tell the Goyim, who wants to join the club? who wants to also give up their life for this? And they say, thank you, no thanks, no thanks. But when they watch Yidden, who are full of oire, not full of Nebuch Torah or Nebuch Yom Tov, but full of oire, and full of simcha, and full of sosin and kar, then they said, of course, we want to join. This sounds so geschmack. How many janitors in local shuls or moistas convert on a daily basis because they see our life? I think I know why they don't. Purim is a time which we can actually break that. We show people how Yiddishkeit is geschmack. I tell Friday people all the time in America, you go to shul once a year because you have to check in once a year and everyone goes on Yom Kippur. So if you want to go once a year to shul, go Purim. Go Simchas Torah. Go Yom Kippur. Obviously, unless it's our minyan Yom Kippur, we make sure Yom Kippur is a lot of fun also. But not, if you go once a year and you go just Yom Kippur, how many will be Megaya? How many Baal Teshuva are there in America or here? I don't know how it works, going the 3 days. Yeah, there's also accounts about 3 day Jews, right? How many Baal Teshuva are there because of those 3 day Jews? If you never have to go to shul and hear shofar, make sure you're not going to die this year, so you come to shul in time for Nisan and Tokiv just to cry to Hashem, don't kill me this year. If that's what Yiddishkeit is, no one's going to join. All the janitor says is the our strange menhagim, which doesn't make sense to them. But do they see the simcha? They say a story of someone were in a very ultra firm shul, and people at Tainus Kanoim, if you can't really call them that, because Kanoim is really a holy word used for real things. But what so called Kanoim, they saw that the women over Simchas Torah were like, there was too much looking over there, the balcony, and they wanted to make sure the women are not, you know, entering too much into the men's section. So just before Shabbos Bereishis, they put honey on the ledge of the Vabashul so that they won't be able to lean over. And it came Shabbos Bereishis, and the woman was standing there, wanted to look, and said, everyone says, hey, beware, be careful, it's very sticky, don't lean over. And it was, for some people, a beautiful davening. No one even peeped out. But of course, those ladies went to complain. They went to the shamash of shul, said, it's dirty, the ledge is sticky, it's not fair. So the shamash does his job and complains to the goy. He said, didn't you see it was sticky? We have to, why didn't you clean it before Shabbos? He says, I'll be honest with you, I did see it was sticky. But you know, 4 weeks ago, for me it was a regular day, but the whole shul just filled up, and everyone looked very serious, and one person got up in the middle, with a ram's horn, started blowing, and everyone was crying. And I thought that was pretty strange, but fine. Next day that happened again. And a few days later, everyone came to shul dressed in white, and they were all day in shul serious. A few days later, they came again with branches in shul. Branches, and they were waving it wildly. A few days later, and every day they brought these branches. A few days later, they were knocking it onto the floor. Then everyone's dancing. And then I see honey on the ledge. What am I supposed to think? You know, this is another strange minhag. I should wipe it off. And then they say, I'm this anti-Semite, you know, working at the shul, taking away your mitzvahs. That's all they see. But how many of them are megaya? But if they see how happy we are with our Yiddishkeit, of course they'll join. We had a story in Margate, New Jersey, little shtetl at the oceanfront in New Jersey. We had the great Shabbaton. And a few weeks later, the rabbi of the shul that called us told us, I want you to hear this story. I was walking in the street a few days after Shabbos, and a guy comes over to me and says, Rabbi, you're the rabbi of the young Israel, Margate? He says, yes, I am. He said, was it your synagogue that had those guys with the furry hats last week, Shabbat? He said, yeah, it was my place. Why? He said, because I heard there was a lot of fun. And I missed it. He says, boy, did you miss it. He says, I belong to a conservative temple. And I'd never go into the Young Israel. But I heard there was so much fun. He says, yes, it was. And they're coming back in a few months from now again. They come to us every half a year. He said, well, we don't have it in our place. Let me check out this. And that next Shabbos, we weren't there. But he davened in the Young Israel just because he heard it was fun. And he made a chavrusa with a rav. Every morning, they learned for 10 minutes. By the time we got there, half a year later, he was the gabbai of the shul. Now, his wife wasn't even Jewish, which we didn't know at the time. And they were becoming closer and closer to Yiddishkeit until she told me she's not Jewish. And I took her to Muncie and went through a real kosher conversion in Muncie. But I did ask her where did it all begin, even to end up in the conservative place. She said she's an Irish Catholic, and she was in church, and she asked a question, and the priest says, no questions allowed, we have faith. And she asked another question, until the priest had to call her up and put his hand on her head and said, everyone should repeat after me. And he gave a blessing to the poor soul that has questions and doesn't have faith. And she said, if this religion doesn't allow me to ask questions, it's not for me. And since she went to conservative, and that wasn't much better. Baruch Hashem, she went to a good place where the rabbi says, yes, you are allowed to ask questions. It's a good thing she didn't go to some places that, under the misconception that Jews don't ask questions. Jews really do ask questions and have answers. But he just heard that Yiddishkeit could be geschmack, and he was missing something out. And since the wife wasn't Jewish, obviously the children weren't, and we were Magaya this year, this past year, we were Magaya, this whole family, the wife and four children, Baruch Hashem, because the heder was fun. But I just want to come back to the pusik itself. We asked two questions. What does it mean, kinufal pachtam alayim? Because really, what the Torah is teaching us, what's in the Megillah, it's not what I'm saying. It says, mesiyadim, because nufal pachtam, not because they saw the beauty. The answer is, based on those questions we asked, kinufal pachtam alayim, as I said, the Sfasenis asked, it doesn't make sense that it should be because nufal pachtam, because first of all, they wouldn't be gerim, and number two, if they had something to be afraid of, they would have been killed. Says the Heilige Sfasemis, it doesn't mean they, Nofal Pachtam Alayim, they were afraid of the Yidden. He says it goes on, the Termas Amulek. The reason Goyim are not Megaya, because there's always this Amulek in the air which doesn't allow them to be Megaya. And this Amulek was killed. Nofal Pachtam Alayim, the pachat of Yidden fell on that timas amulek, so they had the power to join. Because amulek wasn't there anymore, that's why they had the power to join. You know what this amulek is? The Torah says, "Mocha timche zaycha amulek." Remember that terrible amulek? Wipe him out. Don't even remember him. And we tell Hashem, we have a better way to wipe out amulek's name. You know how? Don't ever mention his name in the Torah. We'll never remember there was a guy called Amalek. Hashem is like pushing this Amalek name all the time and telling us to forget his name. He said, don't tell me his name. Don't speak so much about him and we'll forget his name. But obviously, it's about us to remember that what he did, because there's Amalek in every generation, which doesn't allow people to join Yiddishkeit. And Nofal Pachtam Alayim, there is the Amalek. And if that amulek goes away, we'll be able to show the world the beauty of Yiddishkeit. What's that amulek? So what was the first thing amulek did? The first thing which amulek did was fought with Klal Yisrael. They were the first one that fought with Klal Yisrael. And the obvious question is, how could they fight with Klal Yisrael? They were surrounded with Anana Akovet. Yidden were surrounded with Anana Akovet. There's no way you could fight them. Says Rashi, Rashi says on the pusik, "Chala nachshulim acherechu." I think Rashi says that the Shvacha Yidden fell out on Polton. They were actually spat out. They couldn't be in such a place of Kedusha. They fell out, those Shvacha Yidden. And those Yidden Amulek hurt. Those Yidden Amulek fought with. So we have to ask ourselves a question. It's very interesting. The Yidden at the time were Mentes Sharetim. We have no musik what that means. That means, anyone if you ever hear that it's a terrible generation today, don't buy that. Yidden were Mentes Sharetim, and Hashem said, B'ni B'choyri Yisrul. Hashem said, B'ni B'choyri Yisrul, and Yidden, who are Mentes Sharetim. Mentes Sharetim is the lowest of the low. Not that there are Memtet Nian levels. There's 100 levels. There's Nian Kedushi, and they were Memtes in the red. They were Memtes below zero. And Hashem said, I love you, Yidden. And I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. And I'm putting you in the Anana Akovet. So I have two questions. Number one, who were the Shvache Yidden from the Mentes Sharetim? How could it be worse than Mentes Sharetim? I mean, which Avada was it that they had that they were so low? And we have that same question in Makkos Choshech. Yidden, it says, Rishurim Shebo Yisrael Hadar. The Rishurim of that generation died by Makkos Choshech. So why did they die by Makkos Choshech? Makkos Choshech. So that, not to embarrass these Yidden, that Yidden are also dying. We're talking about Rishurim Shebo Yisrael Hadar, who are lower than Memtes Sharetim. How bad could you get? Why? With what were they worse? And if they were so bad, why was Hashem so afraid to embarrass those Yidden? We talk about Yidden who are less than Memtes Sharetim. The answer is, for Hashem there's absolutely no difference how holy you are, how much you keep. If you're a Yid, you're a Yid no matter what. So that I like to say we're called Jewish, because even if you're only Jewish, you're still a Jew. If you're a Yid, you're a Yid. You're Heilig. Hashem loves you no matter what. By the way, same goes with British. I've lost my accent almost, some of it. But I'm still British. If you're a Yid, you're a Yid. And Hashem loves you. B'nei b'choyri Yisrael. You have no less love from Hashem if you're a Memtes Sharetim or you're on the highest level. You don't have that pleasure of having closeness to Hashem. You're lost. But Hashem loves you the same. Rashi says of the Shurim Shebo Yisrael Hadar, says Rashi, those Yidden that didn't want to leave. The only thing which could get worse than Memtes Sharetim is telling Hashem, I'm not interested in you. And on those Yidden, Hashem says, you might not be interested in me, I'm not going to force you to come out. But I'm still not going to embarrass you because you're still a Yid. And I still love you and you're going to die by Makkos Choshech. But there's nothing worse than Memtes Sharetim. Other than you're not interested. If you're not interested, I'm not going to force you. And the same went when the Yidden were in Anana Kuvit, and those who got a little cold weren't so interested anymore. Fine, you're not interested, you're out. But they're not worse than Memtes Sharetim, they just weren't interested. But if that's the case, then the caste is much stronger. Why do we hate Amulek so much? We're talking about Yidden, who are lower than Memtes Sharetim, who are not interested in Yiddishkeit. And Amulek fought those Yidden, because the others they couldn't get hold of, because they were in the Nana Kovet. So, why is Amulek so terrible? You know, those are the guys standing at the back, outside, schmoozing, badavening, disturbing. Adarabe, kick them out! Amulek is our biggest enemy, all generations. You know why? Because he touched our Heilige Yidden. No matter how low you are. That's Amulek. And I see that's Amulek on a daily basis. Because I have the opportunity to talk to boys and girls from our community who feel that's the biggest question. That Hashem doesn't love me, I've done this and I've done that, and Hashem doesn't love me anymore. And I'm anyway going to Gehenna. Sure you've heard that line. I'm going to Gehenna anyway, so why not enjoy myself? So you're not going to Gehenna and Hashem loves you, it's not about Gehenna. That's the Amulek. If our whole Yiddishkeit is about yes, going to Gehenna and not going to Gehenna, you might end up in Gehenna. That's not what Yiddishkeit is. If Yiddishkeit is about I enjoy this, I want this, then it's irrelevant if you have that get out of jail card. You want to. That's a mulek. A mulek every generation says, no, Hashem, there's a shvache yidin. There's shvache yidin, so I could hurt them. There's no such thing as a shvache yid. And he's heilig. Because Hashem loves him. B'nei b'choyr Yisrael, Hashem loves every yid. And if that's the case, if there's no amulek, if we learn there's no amulek, we'll understand the beauty of Yiddishkeit. We'll see the beauty of Yiddishkeit. And then there's kibi, kima v'kibli. When they see how much Hashem loves us, because the biggest proof Hashem loves us was the story of Megillah Esther. If we'd have a choice to either have the story of Purim or the story of Pesach, we'd all choose Purim, as in someone that takes care of us. Meaning to say, you can either have someone that will do the coolest, greatest nisip for a week and drop you afterwards, or on a quiet tone, no one's looking, no major fanfare, but behind the scenes taking care of you on a daily basis. That's what the story of Purim taught us. And that's when they said, wow, it's not just about these crazy miracles. Hashem really loves us. And if Hashem really loves us, I want to keep that Torah. I want to be that Yid. And that's when they recognize that Torah is the Oide. Yom Tov is Simcha, it's Geschmack. Yiddishkeit is so Geschmack. And when a Goy saw that, that we recognize there's no Amulek. There's no Amulek. Because Hashem really does love us, and therefore we love Hashem. Then Rabbi Mabnai Huritz Mesiyadim. All the Goyim would convert when Nufal Pachtam on the Amulek. Says the Sfasemes. Doesn't mean Nufal Pachtam on Lehem, on them, because it wouldn't be Geri Emes. It was Nufal Pachtam on the concept of the Amulek, and therefore Ramim and Arutz Mesiadim. And as the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Hida, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Chumah, that people are tipshim out there. The Goyim in Manchester are stupid, because we don't see the converts running in every day. Or maybe they're not so stupid because they don't see the beauty of the excitement we have in our Yiddishkeit. But over Purim is the time to show the world that we love this. We're not doing it because we have to do it. We're doing this because we enjoy doing it. And when the world sees, and we're going to start with our own family, and then go out to friends and neighbors, and the Yidden who are not zoicha to experience it, and then we can get to the Goyim. But when the world sees, every Yid recognizes that a firm Yid is a happy person. It's the biggest Kiddush Hashem you could do. Is walk in the street and smile. And say, wow, you're happy. Or if a Yid walks in the street all depressed, and a Fry Yid sees and says, yeah, of course you're depressed. It's Wednesday. Shabbos is coming again. You're going to sit in the dark and eat cold food. That's a Chilul Hashem. But if we show the world, Oida is Yitoida. Because Torah is Oida, then everyone would convert back to Yiddishkeit. And they see how much Hashem loves us. Thank you.